This is Northland Angler, the Northland Tackle Podcast.
Well, great to have our good friend Jeff Gustafson with us once again. Gussie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So you're on a new tour this year. You've been on the FLW Pro Bass Circuit for a number of years. Now you're into the Bassmaster Elite Series. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so sort of a new endeavor for me. I've had 6 full seasons fishing the FLW Tour, and that was awesome. Good experience. And then this fall, I don't know, for everyone that follows bass tournament fishing, they'd be in the loop on this, but Major League Fishing, another organization, they've started sort of pro circuit. So they actually plucked quite a few guys from Bassmasters and also FLW, and it was sort of an invite-only thing. So the opportunity came. There were some openings with Bassmaster to get into the Elite Series, and I was fortunate and got invited. So I accepted it, off to the races. You know, the big draw is everyone that tournament fishes wants to, you know, the dream would be to fish in the Bassmaster Classic. That's kind of like the Super Bowl of all bass tournaments. And, you know, to have the opportunity to do that is a big deal. And, it's a much smaller field size than FLW. So that's kind of nice. And, you know, there's quite a few advantages. So I'm excited about it and you know, looking forward to the new adventure.
Excellent. And we'll get into how you made it into the pro bass fishing circuit a little bit later on in our conversation. But you are in the midst of a tournament right now. Just got going. Is this the second one of the year? Or?
It is. So we fished last week down in Florida at the St. Johns River, and I had a rough start. Not how I wanted to start out my new career here, but I finished 61st. It was a 75. It's a 75 angler field, so not too good. And then today we started off at Lake Lanier for the second event in Georgia. And I actually fished here an FLW event here last year and did pretty well. It's one of my favorite lakes in the South, and I had a really good day today. And I'm actually leading the tournament after the first day. So there's still 3 more days to go. A long way to go, but I'm off to a good start, and things are going good here.
Great news. Great news for sure. So, Gussie, we're going to kind of take a look at your journey through life and how you got into fishing to begin with. And let's go. So let's go back to the beginning. I know you're up there in Ontario, and I'm presuming that's where you grew up.
Yeah, I did, in Kenora, Ontario, on the north side of Lake of the Woods. So my intro to tournament fishing, we have an event in Kenora called the Kenora Bass International. It's been going on since like 1988. So it's got a long history. A lot of the best anglers in the world have come and fished it. The Linders came and fished it for years. So it's a big high profile event. And when I was a little kid, my mom and dad took me to the weigh-in. And then by the time I was like 8 or 9 years old, I wanted, you know, that I lived for that. And then for my Christmas present when I was 10 years old, Santa got my dad and I an entry into the tournament for the following year. So that was 1993. And we fished the tournament, and he didn't bass fish much. We fished lots, but more for walleyes and lake trout, fishing to eat. But I really, really loved to fish for bass and even pike, just fish that you could use lures to catch. And I enjoyed that a lot more than going and jigging a, you know, mm-hmm. That was too slow for me when I was a little kid. So we started doing it, and we were donators for several years. And you know, our goal was just to go catch a fish so we could walk across the stage. And we always did that. And then as I got a little bit older, you know, I started fishing more and more. You know, it just sort of went from there. And by the time I was a late teenager, I was, you know, I lived for fishing in bass tournaments and started traveling to Minnesota and Wisconsin, a little farther from home, and did that sort of through my 20s, early 20s. And then in 2012, I sort of, you know, had the opportunities to fish some FLW events and qualified for the for the FLW Tour and have fished that for 6 years. And then, that, you know, getting to that point, you're doing it full time, you know. So I'm fishing these tournaments, traveling all over the country, and, you know, and then come along with that, you have different sponsor obligations and boat shows to work at, and then I do some guiding on the side and just stay busy. You know, I've never had a real Monday to Friday job before. I've been sort of done my own thing, and I went to university for 4 years and got a degree on I always say the Keep Mom Happy program. But I did that, and I do quite a bit of writing and photography. You know, that experience was good, and I stay busy all year round doing something, but the tournament stuff is the thing that I'm most passionate about and put the most effort into, probably. And the first few years I got my butt whipped down south quite a bit, but I did good enough where I was making some money and I could kind of continue to keep doing it. And now I've sort of gone through a lot of the hardships, and I had, like I said, one of the worst tournaments I've had in several years last week. But for the most part, my consistency's gotten a lot better, I'm having a lot of fun doing it. I've made a lot of good buddies down here. There's five of us staying in a house this week on the lake, and we've had a good time.
You know, I first started talking to you through Northland Tackle. You know, they're always giving me good guys that they want, you know, on the air, and yep, you were definitely one of them. So talk about that relationship. That sounds like that's been going on for a while.
It has, and they've been really top-notch supporters. I think JP was probably the first, like, paying sponsor that I ever had. So that was, you know, very nice of him, probably before I really deserved it, but that was a big deal, and those guys have done a lot for me over the years, and awesome story there with, you know, being from Bemidji, and they've made a lot of really good baits over the years.
They certainly have, no question about it, and two of the greatest guys I know are Dwayne and John. I don't know what they like more, though, fishing or basketball right now.
Yeah, I know. So JP, I get together with JP quite a bit, like at least a few times a year we always fish the Fort Francis Canadian Bass Championship together on Rainy Lake in July, and then he usually comes up a couple times in the fall to go deer hunting. And then we've done, you know, over the years we've had other fishing trips and shed hunting trips and all kinds of stuff. So I don't think I've ever watched a whole basketball game in my life, but I'm a big hockey fan. So like I have hockey on all the time, and it just like is painful to him. So it's kind of funny, because when he comes to Canada, we're not watching basketball.
No.
But I know the boys that, you know, they're Dwayne's grandsons and some of John's nephews, and they're doing real well, and I know they're good at it, so that's awesome.
Well, let's go way back to the actual beginning and when you first started fishing. I mean, usually it's dad or grandpa that got you out there. What about for you?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the biggest thing. You know, it is expensive to go fishing, but anybody can do it. That's the cool thing about it. And so, you know, for me, it was just, I was really lucky. My grandparents had a lake place on Lake of the Woods, a cabin, and we'd spend our summers there. So I was interested in fishing when I was really young. I mean, like 5, 6, 7 years old, I read, you know, looked at fishing magazines, and my grandpa had a lot of lures. Like, my dad just had, like, walleye tackle and boring stuff. But my grandpa always had, like, tackle boxes full of different lures. And I used to, you know, love casting them off the dock and playing with them. And so that's, you know, some of my earliest memories. But you know, for there's lots of other things that kids can do now. But especially, you know, in our part of the world up north, it's there's so much good fishing, and it's such a awesome activity. So get those kids out there when they're young, once they kind of get shown how to do it, then they'll be able to go do it on their own.
And like you said, you've been lucky to be able to make it really an integral part of your life. It's the way you make a living, and pretty much has been most of your adult life. That's a rare treat for people.
Yeah, no, I've been fortunate. It's, you know, a combination of really committing to this is what I want to do, and also I've met a lot of great people over the years that have been able to help me out. Now I've got like some of the best sponsors in the world, and supportive friends and family, I'm very lucky. It's, you know, the traveling part of what, like, I left home on January 15th and we're at February 14th now. So I mean, it's been a month I've been on the road. That part of it's not glamorous. The long, you know, driving from Kenora to Florida is not glamorous, but you know, when you have a good day on the water and get to fish all these cool different lakes and meet lots of awesome people, that kind of makes it worth it. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing right now.
Now, I know when we first started talking, you were doing a lot more guiding in those days, and I think maybe even some hunting trips and things like that. Am I right on that?
Yeah, and I still do a little bit of that, but not as much. Our deer hunting has gotten pretty tough in the last 5 or 6 years just because of bad winters. There got to be a lot of wolves. And it's still pretty good. I mean, you can if you put some work in, you can still find some deer around. But it's, you know, prior to 2010 or 11, it was world class up there. And so that's when I kind of started doing it. And I still have a few regular friends that kind of come up and deer hunt every year. And I'm still out there doing it. But it's there's just not the numbers of big ones, big bucks that there was several years ago. And then I also I've done a little bit of wolf hunting too over the last, this was the first year I didn't do it, but I always do that in January. And that's, you know, something that's sort of different. And, you know, for me, it's just an activity that kind of keeps me busy and during a slow time of year, and it gets me outside.
Okay. So describe for us, or those that maybe are envisioning a life in this way, how do you literally actually make a living? Where does the money come from? Is it all tournament winnings?
So for me, and I get asked this a lot.
I bet.
the money for me comes from a lot of different places, but like tournament winnings is probably the number one thing. But that's like gambling. Like last year, I had a really good year. The year before, not very good. Sponsorships, I've got some pretty good sponsors, so I do all right on that end. And then, I do still do a little bit of guiding, not a ton, probably, you know, maybe 20 days in open water, maybe 10 or 15 days ice fishing, and then maybe 15 to 20 days of hunting stuff. So, I mean, I do enough to kind of, you know, during the slower times, just to keep some flow going. I do a lot of outdoor writing and some photography stuff. So I have quite a few little jobs there, and then different, events where maybe like doing seminars, presentations, that sort of thing. I do those when I can and make a few bucks doing that as well. So it's just kind of a mishmash of many things to sort of stay busy and you know.
Do you run the
keep doing what I'm doing?
Do you run the whole operation yourself?
I do.
Wow.
I do. Yep. So a lot of my buddies now, especially like doing the fishing stuff, they'll have the big thing now is a lot of the guys have people that run their social media stuff for them, and that's like, that's a pretty big project, so I could, you know, I could probably use a little bit of help with that. But it's just like a lot of the stuff I learned how to do it, and so I just kind of, it's just all part of the job, you know.
Right. What is the thing you like the most, and what is the thing you like the least?
Wow. For sure, the thing I like the least is just the, you know, extensive time being away from home and family and stuff, and the travel. That you know, when you have a bad tournament and you're on the road by yourself, that sucks. But the highs of when you have a good tournament are, you know, I live for that. So that's the real thing that I love the most, probably.
Is it a real brotherhood out there on the road?
Yeah, it is. It is, for the most part. On the water, sometimes during these events, some of the guys get a little bit chippy with each other. But for the most part, yeah, we all help each other out. And, you know, there's a lot of little groups like what we have this week that where the guys stay together. And it's nice to have a little bit of camaraderie at night and that sort of thing. So.
And I suppose, and we've talked about this before, you're not alone in this regard, but fairly unique in being a Canadian in a tour that primarily features Southern accents.
Yeah, for sure. So there's two other Canadian guys, Chris and Cordy Johnston, that fish. They're from Southern Ontario down near Toronto, and they've done real well for themselves the last few years as well. But I stay with those guys and roll with those guys quite a bit. And, but yeah, we stand out a little bit for sure, but we fit in with, you know, with all the guys for the most part on the fishing talk. And we, you know, I think if you can kind of hang in there for a few years and show these guys that you're competitive, then you kind of get accepted. And we've all kind of gone through that and, you know, have a lot of good friends down here now.
What I've always found interesting is and even the people from the South admit when they get up here that we really do have the best bass fishing in maybe the world up here as far as action goes and health of the fishery. And Lake of the Woods, particularly on the Ontario side, is incredible. And yet, it's still number two or number three fish for most people up here.
Yeah, no, it's walleye country, and the walleye fishing's top-notch.
Well, yeah.
And they're tough to beat if you want to eat. So I get it, but you know, but I like up where I live on the north end of Lake of the Woods. I mean, if I want to go have walleyes for dinner, then I can go put the boat out in an hour and catch a bunch and eat them up. And I do a lot of my guide trips are for walleyes, and I, you know, take friends and family out quite often, and we catch a bunch. And I definitely do quite a bit of walleye fishing too, but I really, really enjoy the bass fishing more. I think just the more, you know, there's more visual stuff with bass fishing, and as far as you can see some of the strikes and see the fish and see the cover, and then, you know, they fight hard, and it's fun catching them on all the, you know, different lures that there are out there, and that's all just part of the whole package with bass fishing.
And now you of course Lake of the Woods guy. Are the other two on the tour? Are they also Lake of the Woods guys?
No, they're from Southern Ontario, so down near Toronto. So they actually live about 20 hours from where I do. If we were driving.
And where do they catch all their bass?
They've got lots of good stuff down there. They get to fish the Great Lakes a lot, so they catch a lot of big smallmouths out there. And then, they've got a bunch of good lakes kind of in their neck of the woods. They live in a town called Peterborough City, actually, but Peterborough, Ontario. And so they, you know, the one thing about living up north is we're pretty versatile. Like, we get to fish a lot of different scenarios as far as like clear water. We've got some rivers, we've got lots of grass in our lakes and weeds. So we're for the most part, we get to fish for smallmouth and largemouth. So I think that sort of serves us well on, because you gotta, if you come out and do this on the, you know, at the tour level, you're going to all these different lakes all over the country. You gotta, you know, have quite a few tricks to kind of catch fish, because you can't, you know, this, you can't do this. Last week we fished in Florida, dirty, shallow water, tons of weeds, and then this week we're fishing on this Lake Lanier, and it's gin clear, super deep. I was catching fish in like 35 feet of water today.
Wow.
I don't think you could even find 30 feet of water in most lakes in Florida. So, it's, you know, you got to have a lot of different tactics to catch bass, and getting to fish up north and growing up fishing up there, we're able to kind of do lots of catch them a lot of different ways.
Is there a distinctive difference in the way you have to fish in the south than you do in Lake of the Woods, or is it a lake-by-lake thing?
It is. It's a lake-by-lake thing, and it's just a lot of the same principles apply no matter what, whether you're on a lake or a river or a reservoir. I mean, sometimes they want to be related to cover or structure. In fact, usually they always are related to some form of cover in the water or offshore structure. And then, you know, when they spawn, all bass are going to go up shallow in protected little bays and coves, and that's where they're going to spawn. So knowing that, you know, you can kind of have an idea of where they're going to be during the, like, pre-spawn and post-spawn stages as they're going in and out of those areas as well. So that's just, it's a lot of general rules that apply, but you know, you have to kind of put them to use on all these different fisheries that we visit.
Your parents still alive?
Yep. My dad's actually down here with me this week, so that's cool. And my mom's holding down the fort up at home.
And I'm sure you say to your dad every now and then, thank you for taking me fishing back when I was a kid, huh?
Yeah, probably not as much as I should, but yeah, no, he knows, and I'm sure appreciative of him doing that. And, you know, because I've made a lot of good friends through fishing and had a lot of good experiences in my life, that's for sure.
What's, as you look at your professional life so far, what's the hardest lesson you had to learn?
Ooh, the hardest lesson. I don't know. That's a toughie.
Okay.
You know, I've learned lots of little things the hard way, just, you know, as far as just little things with traveling and you know, making poor decisions when I'm on the water and that sort of thing. But otherwise, I mean, I've been pretty fortunate. I haven't had a lot of bad stuff happen. But last year we were at a place and I actually had my truck got broken into and I had like $15,000 worth of fishing gear stolen, and I was very lucky. The police and conservation officers there found my stuff a couple days later and I got just about all of it back. So I got pretty lucky on that one, but it's, you know, we usually rent houses and stay in good areas and, you know, don't stay at the cheapest hotels because you're usually asking for, we've all got nice boats and trucks and, you know, you got to have all that stuff to kind of get on the road and do this. So, and I carry a lot of equipment with me just because we're visiting all these different lakes, and I don't often get to go home in between some of the events, so I have to bring a lot of stuff with me, and you know, so you got to kind of be smart about that too.
The 15-year-old who's listening to you and envisioning a life in this field someday, the one piece of advice you would give that person?
The most important, and this is what I get asked probably more than anything, actually, is how do I get to do this? And the biggest thing, the most important thing is you have to spend a lot of time on the water. You have to fish. If you don't catch, if you can't catch fish, it doesn't matter if you have good social media or, you know, you can take a good picture. That stuff is second to, you know, being knowledgeable on the water and being able to kind of talk the talk and that sort of thing. But fish, fish, fish. That's how you're going to learn and get better. And good things will happen if you put a lot into that.
All right, Jeff Gussie Gustafson with us today. Great conversation about his life in fishing. Jeff, you're in your second tournament of the year. How many are there on this circuit?
We've got nine tournaments, so it's a long season. But after the rough start, it felt pretty good today to have a good day. And you know, there's going to be three more days in this event, so I got my work cut out for me to kind of hang in there, but it was a good start today, so I'll be excited to get back out there tomorrow for sure.
Gussie, if people want to keep tabs on how you're doing there or read some of your stuff that you're putting out, how do we chase you down?
Yeah, you can follow the tournament circuit at Bassmaster.com. They've got great live coverage during all the events. I'm on social media at Gussie Outdoors. I have a website, GussieOutdoors.com. And if anyone wants to get a hold of me, I'm easy to find on those different platforms. And send me a message, and I usually get them all. So fire away anytime.
Jeff Gussie Gustafson joining us again. Hey, thanks for the time today. We really appreciate it.
Always, guys. I appreciate it as well, and always good chatting with you, Kevin.